It's game time, driven by Briggs Auto Lane and BriggsAuto.com. Get in the game.
Here we go!
Hello and welcome to the game. I'm John Kurtz, joined by Tyler Dreiling and Mitch Fortner. Coming up today on the show, I'll tell you this much up front. This is a very slow day, and slow days typically result in some of our best and most fun shows. So there's a lot to throw at you here. I'm not even 100% sure yet of what order all this is going to come at you in. We have a major announcement for the show to lead things off here. We have some boring stuff, like a couple commits for football and Winston Dimmel finally getting a permanent location. I don't mean to speak ill of those, but what's more exciting here, we have an intense discussion going on Twitter. At the game, KMAN, at JL Kurtz, vote in the poll. Is it cool to get a Power Cat tattoo? That has generated a ton of discussion today, and I'm excited to get into that in the second hour of the show. Also, we're going to straight up steal some content from the internet, which is kind of just all what radio is, people stealing content from each other. But the topic that was going around this weekend of tweet something that the young students would not know about from back in your day. Welcome to a Scooter Girl conversation. I've got an article printed off about Scooter Girl ready to go here today. And then, you know, I guess what America's talking about, I'm just not very in touch with, so Tyler's going to try and get that through my thick skull at 440. As always, you can text us at 59457. You can tweet us at the game KMAN. You can call us at 537-1350. Man, I swear, if you people are tweeting me all kinds of different logos that they want to get tattooed in opposed to the Power Cat, that they would rather have than the Power Cat. There are a ton of opinions on this. Like, I thought today was the first day of the summer that we were going to be kind of stumped and really in trouble. We did have a guest that had to reschedule, so I was like, oh, man, we don't have too much going on today. And, boy, you throw out a poll that says, is getting a Power Cat tattoo cool? Our listeners respond, man. Our listeners and followers on Twitter definitely respond. But first, we have an announcement here. We have an announcement for the show. So, if you'll excuse me, I'm going to take my role here as the game sports information director up to the podium.
Yeah.
Media, thank you. Thank you all for attending here at 4:08, an unusual press conference time on a Monday. But we have an important announcement here. Tyler Dreiling will be speaking in just a moment. But the announcement we made on February 6th that said Tyler was leaving on June 29th has now been updated to an announcement today on June 11th, if you're keeping score at home, not February 6th, June 11th, that Tyler is now leaving on July 13th as opposed to June 29th. I think that's all spelled out very clearly. There's nothing confusing about it at all. And with that, here is an opening statement from Tyler Dreiling.
Yeah, and I reserve the right to refuse answering questions. But basically, what we've got here is I have a housing situation set up for when I move to Hawaii. It is currently in a holding pattern due to some unforeseen circumstances. It looks like I'm just going to be getting out of here a couple weeks later than originally anticipated, and I would love nothing more than to spend those extra couple of weeks with you guys here on the show.
And with that, we will open it up to questions. Does
Tyler,
anybody have a question?
Tyler, yeah. Tyler, I have
Mitch,
a question for
Mitch
you.
Mitch Fortner in the front row.
I'm just curious. Why? Is there more to this?
There really isn't. It doesn't have to do with the volcano. It doesn't have to do with nuclear threats from North Korea. It is the simple matter of the room that I am going to be occupying once I get there, still being occupied as of now and will not be available as quickly as it was originally supposed to be.
Tyler.
Yes.
Okay, John here in the back row, back left.
State your affiliation, please.
Yeah, John Kurtz, KMAN, Manhattan. Could you talk about why this happened? Please talk about why this happened.
You're curious?
No, I want you to talk about why this happened.
I was incorporating the curious thing from the Bill Snyder press conferences there. I can't say exactly why it happened. The place where I'm going to be staying, that room is being rented out to a friend of the couple that I'm going to be staying with. They have had some complications come up. I don't know where those stem from, but they were supposed to be moving out by the end of June, and now it looks like it'll probably be the end of July before they are able to get out of there.
Tyler?
Yes.
Excuse me. Mitch Fortner, back middle.
Mitch Fortner, MW ring announcer. Do you get homesick, and how quickly does it happen?
Yeah, that's a major concern for me at this point. I've had a lot of anxiety building up over the last 6 months getting ready for this, so it's not ideal that I have to deal with more of this before we get started, but I maintain what I said from the beginning. I'm going to hit the ground running with this. I'm going to give it my all and hope that the rest will take care of itself.
Tyler, another question.
This is Mitch in the back left.
Hi, Mitch Fortner. I do middays on 101.5 K-Rock. Does not having Freddy's in Hawaii have anything to do with this?
I'm good. You know what? We're right in the middle of the heat of the summer, so I've been meeting my Freddy's quota. I think I'm going to be okay once I get there. But there may be some withdrawal symptoms that I go through in that original 2 to 3 week period, as is the case with most addictive substances.
Tyler, excuse me. If we can get the mic to front right. Yeah, this is Wacky from Wacky and Stormy.
Yeah, sure.
Are you worried about leaving on Friday the 13th?
Yeah, that's going to be an interesting one. You know, that's going to be my last show. I won't be departing until later, but Friday the 13th will be my last show. And I would assume that you guys are going to put something together. That does frighten me a little bit to think about what could potentially be taking place there. However, I will say that I take some comfort in the fact that you have already made me sing Piano Man on the air, so I know that that's not something that I'm going to have to worry about again, and I'm just going to try to focus on that.
Tyler, another question here.
Mitch in the front left.
This is amazing.
Hi, Mitch Fortner, former Howard Stern intern. does this, talking to the soccer fan here.
Yeah. Mm-hmm.
Sporting KC has a game on July 7th. It's a home game against Toronto. Are you postponing your trip so you can attend that home game?
No. I am a huge soccer fan. However, right now it's very difficult to be a soccer fan in the United States because the World Cup is about to get started and I don't have a team to cheer for. I've only been to one sporting match this year so far, and it was like the only loss that they have had at home. So I think I'm gonna stay away so that I don't curse the team any more than I already have.
Tyler, excuse me, sir. State your affiliation.
Uh-huh.
Yes, my fault. This is John Kurtz from Sunday Morning SmackDown on KSDB 91.9. Is it fair to question your motivation level at this point, with things so close to being done and out of here?
I'll tell you this, and this is very serious, comes from the heart. The last 3 to 4 weeks of the show that we have done and the fun that we have had have made it a lot more difficult to think about the inevitable conclusion that we are coming to. It's been an absolute blast. But right now, what's best for me and what's healthiest for me is to focus on the positives and the fact that because of this new variable getting thrown in there, that I will get an additional couple of weeks with the show. Instead of, it would have been originally 12 more shows after today. Now you can bump that number up to 22.
Tyler, another question over here.
We'll go to Mitch. Mitch, middle.
Mm-hmm.
Hi, Mitch Fortner, just some regular guy that doesn't live on Twitter all my life. Mm-hmm. You get asked this before every season, and I'm sure you get sick of it, but I'm one of two guys at these press conferences that have been around forever. I can get away with it. Is this going to be your last season?
My last season with what?
What do you mean? Your last season.
Well, I don't get to enjoy another K-State football season, not here in Manhattan anyway.
We'll go to Wacky with a follow-up question. Yeah, just to clarify, if this is your last season, will you be leaving your host spot up to your son?
Oh, right, right. filling this chair is going to be a difficult endeavor, but it will not be one that we go about alone. It'll be a team effort, and we will compile a list of names, and when necessary, we will leak that list of names to gauge the public reaction to them, and then we will make a new list of names and go from there.
No further questions. No further questions. Once again, instead of the announcement made on February 6th that he was leaving on June 29th, we'd have an announcement today on June 11th that Tyler is not leaving on June 29th. He's leaving on July 13th. Mm-hmm. I feel like everybody's got that pretty straight. It's pretty easy to figure out, and we can all just move on. We appreciate your time here at this press conference today. All right, we'll move on with the game. We've got a lot to cover on the show. Still a ton of discussion, man. Everybody is really into this. Is it cool to get a Power Cat tattoo? Vote in the poll, the game KMAN, JL Kurtz. We will get to that in the second hour of the show. There is a reason we're talking about that, by the way. What the kids don't know about your era at K-State. Everybody was answering that on Twitter over the weekend. I've got some great answers for that. I've got an article printed about Scooter Girl. It's going to be a lot of fun, but one thing that we like to do, I'll throw in a bit of serious K-State football news for you. How about that when we come back? And then we're going to draw from that. You're listening to the game. Back here on the game, text us, 59457. Tweet us at the game KMAN. The poll today, is it cool to get a Power Cat tattoo? This all started because great K-State Sports Extra piece put out by Corbin McGuire, as always, mentioned that Barry Brown got a Power Cat tattoo, and there is a lot of meaning behind it. And that, to me, is the key with any tattoo. We'll discuss that more in the second hour. Totally cool for Barry Brown. The reason I put the question out there is more for what fans think of other fans getting the Power Cat tattoo, because that becomes more complicated to me. We're going to draw from the hat in just a second. Mitch did mention one bit of actual hard news today. Winston Dimmel announcing that he is officially going to UTEP. I had kind of already assumed that and thought that may have just been true because I've seen him tweeting about being in El Paso quite a bit. But, I mean, congratulations to him. Wish him nothing but the best of luck and success as he goes on in his career. A guy who certainly gave a lot to K-State. A couple recruiting bits here from social media. A couple guys K-State have been after for the 2019 class. So 2019 football class is where we're at here. Keenan Garber, defensive back from Lawrence, and Felton Gardner, a receiver from Dallas, both committed to K-State, announcing their decisions on social media today, both rated as three-star recruits if you're looking at Rivals.com. Would say that Garber, the in-state product, does not have quite the impressive offer list that on the other side, man, I'm spacing out on names here, Gardner has. So Garber from from Lawrence chose K-State over Kansas, Tulane, Wyoming, and a handful of other offers. But actually a pretty impressive offer list when I started looking into Felton Gardner, the receiver from Dallas. 5'9", 170-pound, three-star recruit. Also was looking at SMU, Texas Tech, Syracuse, and Tulsa. He was listed by Rivals as an athlete, but I'm just reading from Kellis's article here that he's considering him more of a wide receiver. So some good news as far as the 2019 football recruiting class is concerned. You know, I think comparatively to what K-State's done on the recruiting front recently over the last handful of years, these are about the type of guys you expect to get. Gardner, I think, has the chance to, by the time it's all said and done, be on the higher end of what K-State normally winds up with. So I think you take it.
Yeah, I mean, nothing, you know, too groundbreaking here. You got a couple guys you're bringing in that had some mid-level FBS offers, and you hope that you bring in, you know, a class full of those guys, and you'll get at least three or four of them that turn out to be really, really good players for you.
Don't you dare make this sound like mundane recruiting, man. It's a big day.
Mm-hmm.
Landed a couple of recruits.
Mm-hmm.
We just had a press conference for you. Can't you make some of this sound exciting?
I mean, look, any receiver recruit K-State brings in, I get excited about, because K-State has done a pretty good job at taking receivers and turning them into to really, really good receivers. So you got that going for you.
5'9", 170-pound receiver sounds like Aaron Lockett,
yeah,
or something.
Yeah, it really does.
Okay. I'm digging here in the hat.
Let's go.
I'm digging, digging, digging. Mitch, do you want first call on whether it's a good enough topic like last time?
do I want first call? I say we just go with whatever comes up first. That's the way this works, right?
Okay, well, what's the last song you sang at the top of your lungs in the car?
Oh, in the car.
Yeah.
Well, that would have been, I've been listening to this band called Ghost. It's probably my favorite band right now. There's a song called Rats that just came out not too long ago, and it's a pretty sick song. So I've been listening to that quite a bit.
You mentioned, like, specifically in the car. Is there a song that you've sang at the top of your lungs somewhere else lately?
Yeah, like, well, what was the answer that you were thinking of outside of that?
Well, I was at a wedding on Saturday.
Oh, yeah, that's right.
And I was feeling pretty good, and NSYNC's Bye 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 came on. And the reason I popped over that one is because my friend of mine who I went to his wedding for, who got married, he and I were big fans back in the day.
Would you say that song really popped the boys as far as the wedding is concerned?
I think so, because I gave a speech at the wedding and I mentioned NSYNC and all that and our fandom for when we were 7 or 8.
Does that mean were you the best
somebody
band?
No, I just went up there and gave a speech.
Like, was this planned?
He doesn't need an invitation.
Hang on. No one expected this, but you just went and commandeered the mic.
So what happened was the best man gave a speech, and I'd met this guy like the day before, and he bombed. It was really bad. He didn't know what he wanted to say. Just he just spaced on everything.
Did he cry?
He panicked. No, he didn't. He didn't cry.
Okay.
So then the DJ, who was kind of emceeing, he asked the bride and groom would now like to invite anybody to come up and share a few words. I popped right up and went up there to try to save the day, and let's just say nobody went on after me.
Well, but what I'm picturing is like old school, the beginning of old school, when he goes up and tries to,
Oh, Frank the Tank?
Not Frank the Tank.
At
it's
the wedding.
Mitch.
Yes.
Mitch. Mitch goes up and tries to grab the mic. It's actually perfect, being that his name is Mitch in the movie, and instead starts telling a story about walking in on his wife with like 3 other gentlemen. So that's how that ended, and okay. It did not go well. So
it went way better than that.
Okay. All right, that's good. One thing I wish someone would have recorded my best man speech at my guy Jeff's wedding. Shout out Jeff and Michaela, who now have a
you kill it.
Beautiful child. Yes, I did. I crushed it. I went with the tried and true strategy. You want to get in one aw moment where everybody goes like, aw. And then you want to get in one laugh. And then you want to say something sweet about how you hope that their marriage is great and get out of there and make it pretty short, succinct, under 2 minutes so that nobody has to sit there and like wait through too much and you don't lose their attention. And I nailed it. Man, totally killed it. I would so love to have video of that. I told a funny anecdote about how I lived with Jeff in an apartment where rent was literally, we paid like, $290 a piece, I think, Woodway Apartments here in Manhattan, and how we made it up from that. And then I told a story about them meeting for the first time and said, I can't imagine Jeff without Michaela or Michaela without Jeff. Took a bow, got out of there, huge round of applause. It was great.
Did a bunch of people come up to you afterwards and say, man, that was a great speech?
Yeah, I got a lot of handshakes. They were like, hey, nice job up there.
Yeah.
We went way off the tracks from the original hat topic.
What were we talking about?
The last song you sang at the top of your lungs in the car.
Oh.
So let's hear
it. It's tough. Well, all I've been listening to in my car lately is the Kanye Kid Cudi album
came
out last week.
Yeah.
I don't know any of the songs well enough yet because I've only had the album for like 3 days, so I haven't really been singing at the top of my lungs. There's another one of the songs from the album Kanye released that was solo the week before that I kind of know, and I sort of yell like every 3 lines. I know about every 3 lines, so I'll yell those, but that's about it. It's been a while since I've listened to a song where I've totally started singing. It mostly happens, honestly, when I shouldn't say this, but when I turn on satellite radio and I start listening to, I like listening to the 90s on 9 and then the 2000s on 10. And usually it's something like NSYNC. Okay, here, I was doing it the other day and Sugar Ray came on. It was Every Morning.
Oh.
Every Morning by Sugar Ray. A classic. And, of course, I had to sing that one at the top of my lungs.
Mitch, you're going to be appalled, I think. But every year there's like maybe, you know, because I'm not into the music stuff as much as you guys are. Every year there's maybe three or four songs that come out that I'm like, that's a really good song. I enjoy that song. Well, one of them was Zombie by Bad Wolves.
No, that's a great song.
You like that song?
Yeah, absolutely.
Okay. So
Zombie by Bad Wolves. I know Zombie by the Cranberries.
Well, there's a wild story behind that song, actually.
So that was the last one for me.
What is Zombie by Bad Wolves?
It's a cover of
It's a cover of the Cranberries?
Yeah, it's actually a cover, but they modernized it a little bit.
Oh.
It's like, you know, with their tanks and their drones, they fit in drones, and then they changed the year to 2018.
Yeah, I'm going to pull it up for you during the break.
Have you ever heard Zombie by the Cranberries?
Nope.
Really?
Ugh.
But, I mean, you can't blame me for not knowing it was a cover.
The lead singer of Cranberries.
Oh, I certainly can. Zombie by the Cranberries is awesome. Didn't the lead singer pass away?
She was supposed to record with Bad Wolves. They were supposed to do it together. She passed away the day they were going to record that song.
Yeah, that wasn't that long ago, right?
No.
It was in the last couple of months, I'm pretty sure, that the lead singer of the Cranberries passed away. Also, Linger by the Cranberries. Linger, another good one. If Zombie came on in my car, I would sing Zombie at the top of my lungs.
Hmm. I mean, now I'm excited to listen to the original because I just didn't know that it wasn't.
It's a great song. Mitch, which one do you like better?
Oh, boy. Probably Zombie.
No.
Out of the Cranberries songs, the Cranberries version or this other version? What'd you say, Bad Wolves?
Bad Wolves.
Bad Wolves, yeah.
Mm-hmm. They've been playing it on K-Rock quite a bit.
Probably Bad Wolves, honestly.
Okay. Well, I'll have to listen to that. I'm interested. I'll give it a shot. We roll on here on the game. Is getting a Power Cat tattoo cool? I think it's cool for Barry Brown. He did. We found that out today. But we're discussing the merits of it if you are a fan. It's been getting pretty intense on Twitter back and forth. You can find the poll at JL Kurtz, at the game KMAN. Vote yes or no. I honestly haven't looked at where the poll is at in a while. Also, in hour two, what the young kids don't know about a K-State that you remember from your era. Scooter Girl is headlining my list. When we come back, I am not in touch with what America really cares about today and what we probably should have been like leading the show with and talking about all over the place. I just don't get it. So Tyler, who is the youngest in this room, is going to try and explain it to me and get me on board next. You're listening to Zombie by the Cranberries, man. Do we really have to come back and do this radio thing?
So you listened to the Cranberries version? Did you listen to Bad Wolves?
I listened to like two-thirds of the Bad Wolves version first. I will say, I've never seen the music video for the original before by the Cranberries. And it is cool how Bad Wolves try to do like the same thing, basically, with the music video. It's fine. I would just say that, like, it sounds like every rock ballad that comes out of modern rock these days. Like, what's that Disturbed song that's just terribly corny?
The main guy from Disturbed.
Sound of Silence.
It sounds like it's the same voice as that guy.
Yeah, those guys.
No.
They're very Mitch, when they do the somber, like, ballad thing.
Right.
They sound the exact same.
Well, it's, you know, not every band.
You can interchange them all.
Not every band should do it.
That Sound of Silence cover by Disturbed is fantastic, by the way.
Oh, I hate that song.
I'm on the complete opposite spectrum.
Yeah,
I think it's very, very good.
And look, I'm poking fun at some rock music here. I will say, in high school, I liked a lot of that stuff. I've told you before, Mitch, like Breaking Benjamin, Disturbed, Chevelle. We were talking about them the other day. Chevelle. Yeah. Like, I listened to a lot of that stuff back in high school. I've still got a soft spot for it, but, you know, I mean, if we're talking about it, if they all do, like, the ballads, they all sort of sound the same.
I mean, that's your opinion.
Not always a bad thing.
Okay.
Not always a bad thing.
All right. Well, you know, I guess we could all just say that about music we don't like, right? I would say that about all these country bros that are out there now, too. You know, they're pretty cookie cutter. You would probably say
it
about...
I would concur with that one.
Well, you would also probably say that about, like, hip-hop acts that I
no,
like.
No, actually not. I don't think that way about hip-hop and rap.
Okay. Well, that's good. Tell me what everybody cares about this weekend. I just don't get it. I don't get it. I apparently, look, if I were trying to do the show that would please the masses today, I would have said hello and welcome to the GAMB. Not the game, the GAMB.
Well, yeah. Okay, so, yeah, I guess we can go that direction first. There was also the Triple Crown one this weekend, but I don't care about that one as much. I think this one is interesting.
As dumb as this IHOP thing is, it's more interesting than horse racing.
Yeah, I'm going to agree with you on that. So about 2 weeks ago, IHOP teased that they were going to change the name of their restaurant from IHOP to IHOB with a B. They did not say what the B was going to stand for, give any other details. They just let that out there on social media and let people debate over
really?
It.
Really? Man, I didn't even see that.
Yeah, yeah. That was like 2 weeks ago. This morning, they
tweeted
out.
What were the theories? What did people think?
That had to turn
like political, right?
No, the B could have stood for breakfast, but they didn't know why you would do that because IHOP is already, you know, it's not like it's only pancakes. It's breakfast. So people didn't really know what all was going on here. This morning, IHOP revealed that they are changing their name to IHOB with the B standing for burgers. And they put out an ad with, you know, some of their burgers that are going to be on their menu. And I know that we live in an age of outrage. The interwebs were not happy about this.
Well, like, what's wrong with IHOP?
I know, exactly.
Are they suffering?
Exactly.
Like, I mean, IHOP is what it is. It's not like my favorite thing in the world, but I got it just last week one day. I was like, woke up late on the weekend, and I was like, well, I want like some breakfast stuff. I can just go pick it up, and I really like their chicken fajita omelet. You know, I mean, like every now and then when you're just being lazy and you feel like getting some decent breakfast food, it's there.
Yeah,
fine.
No,
it's okay.
Yeah,
it is what it is.
Right. And every time I go in there, I chuckle because I'm looking at their menu and I'm deciding, you know, what types of pancakes I want or something like that. And then you flip to the page that it's got steaks and seafood and stuff. And I'm just like, no one is coming in here and ordering that. And now they're going all in on that kind of thing. Now, apparently, I don't know if pancakes are going to stay on the menu, but they are all in for these new burgers that they're going to
this sounds like
trot out there.
International House of Crappy Denny's.
It sounds like an April Fool's joke. And, no, that was pretty funny. Here are a couple of the reactions.
Mitch is always my judge of whether or not I think what I said was funny, and I got like a... I got like an eyebrow raise from Mitch there, so I'm not.
There was a good
I'm
bit.
Not sure if
there was a good bit from The Office on
I,
that.
I was agreeing.
Okay, all right.
There was a bit from The Office where Michael wanted to go to IHOP and Dwight said that IHOP was socialist and they needed to go to Denny's instead. Anyway, so Wendy's chimes in. Someone tweeted at Wendy's and said, "So you're just going to let IHOP sell burgers on your block? Thought you guys were the OG." And Wendy's responded and said, "Not really afraid of the burgers from a place that decided pancakes were too hard." Very well done. That is very good Twitter.
Okay, but are they still going to serve all the breakfast stuff?
We don't have answers to this, which is really frustrating. They just decided, they announced what the change was going to be, but not how it's going to impact what they already are. I just saw this. This literally was just tweeted a minute ago from Brett McMurphy, just to be clear on...
Brett McMurphy?
Yeah.
What is happening?
Everyone has
what
an opinion.
This, by the way, Brett McMurphy, if you don't remember, is the same guy that reported the Jim Levitt to K-State thing that we had on the air, and it was like a big deal because he's a college football reporter.
That was 2 weeks of content, I think, we got out of
But,
that.
Like, what? Why is this guy who reported Jim Levitt was going to be coming to K-State or whatever, Curry wanted the secret contract. Why is this guy popping up when we talk about IHOB?
He said, just to be clear on IHOB, International House of Brett was already trademarked.
Okay, because he had a joke that wasn't
right.
funny.
Yeah,
okay,
yeah.
Well, all right.
Also, IHOB did reply in a tweet to someone that said, no need to worry, the pancakes aren't going anywhere because they are replacing all of their P's with B's.
Well, here's what I want to know, okay, is the... chicken fajita omelet still going to be on the menu, IHOP? Because that's all
what
I really
you get?
Care about.
A chicken fajita omelet?
Yes. It's delicious. It's wonderfully delightful.
I don't trust people who go to IHOP and don't get pancakes.
Tyler, we talk about this all the time. Like I have no problem with pancakes. Do you want me to say I'm trying to watch my figure? I try and watch what I eat. So a bunch of eggs and chicken and some vegetables all mixes up pretty well and good for me, what I'm trying to do here.
I guess the last one that I saw, I don't have it pulled up right now, but it's, as you would expect, someone replaced the middle of the B in IHOB with the crying Jordan emoji. That's pretty good.
Okay, yes. That I enjoy. Yeah, all this is going to do is just make me, it just puts doubt in my head. Like, IHOP's not, like, fantastic breakfast food or anything, but it's average to above average. It's what you'd expect. I think you get what you pay for. It's probably worth what you pay for at IHOP. And it's just a staple, like something I know what it's going to be. I don't have to worry really about what I'm going to get every single time I go there. Now, if you're throwing a B and you're maybe going to specialize in burger, like it just throws doubt in my mind that what I'm used to and what I know is not going to be there. So I don't like this.
2018 is a scary time.
Yeah.
IHOP just doesn't roll off the tongue like IHOP does. And it's been around for so long. Who's going to start calling IHOP IHOP anyway?
No, no one's going to say that.
Also, horse racing is, I don't understand why we consider it a sport.
Also, Burger King changed their name on Twitter to Pancake King. All of the other fast food places are having a field day with this.
Okay. Well, this was supposed to be not only the IHOP thing, which, I mean, I am bothered by it, but I just don't really care that much. It was also going to be about how, like, everybody made this huge deal about horse racing and the Triple Crown. Like, I had a friend that I saw on Snapchat pulled over on the side of the road while he was driving to watch it on his phone and go nuts in the car. I honestly had no idea until I saw that snap that a horse race was happening. No idea. I don't understand. I don't get it. Unless you're a degenerate gambler, I don't understand the appeal. In hour two, is getting a power cat tattoo cool? I need to check my mentions because they just keep going off and off and off after I tweeted that earlier today. Vote in the poll at the game KMAN at JL Kurtz. When we come back, Mitch has a WTF fact, and I think I have a WTF fact as well. You're listening to the game. Is getting a power cat tattoo cool? An in-depth discussion coming at hour two in light of Barry Brown getting a power cat tattoo. Athletes at K-State are abstained from this discussion. Totally fine for them to get the power cat tattoo, but what about everybody else? Also, what do you know about your time at K-State that the youngins, the kids, will not know now? I'll give my answers from my generation and some of the best answers I saw on Twitter to that over the weekend in hour two. Texas just won today. They're going to the College World Series, but did Texas win a series in Manhattan?
No, they did not.
No! No, they didn't.
That's baseball in a nutshell, isn't it?
So take that. No, it's Texas sucking in a nutshell. Take that.
Roger Texas. Clemens.
Yeah, Roger Clemens. Couldn't come in and get it done in Manhattan, could you? Mitch, you only have one WTF fact that I saw.
Yeah, just one.
Okay. Now, I feel like this is very dangerous because we're going to be led into like oh, yes. I'm sorry. I forgot about the sounder. Go ahead.
Since Mitch is bored with the show, it's time for his WTF Fact of the Day.
And I'm like, WTF is going on around here?
I feel like you're trying to lead us into a Me Too discussion, which I just don't feel like we're qualified to have. That seems very dangerous. Did you think about that possibility when you retweeted this WTF fact?
No. All I thought about is, yep, I've fallen victim to it.
Okay, it says
not that it's a bad thing. It's just my poor judgment.
It says 89%. Well, actually, there's a typo here. That should be 89% of men.
Well, yeah.
But it just says 89% men make. Okay, let me just do this the right way. It should be 89% of men mistake a woman's friendly behavior with flirting.
Guilty. I think all three of us are guilty.
Well, I mean, of course. Like I don't really care to get into any more of that discussion, like the nuance of that discussion and all the, I mean, there's a lot.
Here's something that does bother me about this.
Aren't
these facts supposed to be ones that you can't, or that are like incomprehensible?
Well, yes. That is one. Where does this number come from? Where does this number come from?
Yeah.
What is this?
Those sources.
What is this? What study is this? So many things I can pick apart here. Yes, let's go there. This stat, while I'm not denying it necessarily, like where does it come from? I don't. Okay, I'm changing
here
the WTF fact here.
Okay.
54 million people that are alive right now will be dead within 12 months.
Interesting.
Is that across the world, I assume?
Yeah.
Well, yeah.
It would have to be.
Well, I mean, you know, like a sixth of the U.S. could be dead in
okay.
12 months. Who knows?
Yikes. I liked this one. The U.S. has 101 people who owe at least $1 million in federal student loans. You want to go down the student loan rabbit hole?
Yeah, I don't know how you get to that point with your student loans. But some of these, like, okay, if you drink enough, this is from 3 hours ago. If you drink enough water in the morning, you will feel happier, sharper, and more energetic throughout the day. Mitch, these are not like...
These studies are done all the time.
Yeah, no, it's true. Like, I know. I try and purposely drink a lot of water. But, like, that's not uncommon knowledge. I just don't...
You would be surprised.
Here's another one. Well, but none of these are just based in facts, because here's another one. People who think their opinions are superior to others may be most prone to overestimating their relevant knowledge and ignoring chances to learn more, a study found. Hmm. I'll tell you what that study is. It's called Living Life. Live life. And people who think their opinions are superior to others may be prone to overestimating their relevant knowledge, blah, blah, blah. And I know, pot, kettle, whatever. We do a radio show, we have to.
I know you and I will like this one, Mitch. I'm not quite as sure with you, but it says bad handwriting. Keep this in mind. More intelligent people tend to think faster, and as a result, their handwriting is more sloppy.
My handwriting's pretty sloppy, so obviously I'm a genius.
Mitch, I'm just worried about, you know, I always try and get you to fact check these things. There's 6 million people. God, there's 6.34 million people that follow this.
It says you never lose friends. You just discover who your real friends are. I'm going to disagree with that WTF.
This just came in a minute ago. Hot off the presses. You ready for this one, Mitch?
Let's hear it.
Breakups are hard to deal with because the body and mind go through withdrawal. Like drug addiction, we become addicted to love.
Yeah.
That's a song, right?
I was going to say, it sounds like the start of a song. It sounds like song lyrics.
It's a ballad.
I'm not sure how much I trust this whole thing anymore. Well, hopefully we'll keep Mitch a little more enticed and excited in the second hour of the show, because we've really got to sort some things out here for the people who are fighting over whether or not it's cool to get a Power Cat tattoo. That when we come back. Plus, who remembers Scooter Girl? You're listening to The Game. All right, here we are, hour two of The Game. It's going to be a lot of nonsense, but very fun nonsense, loosely based around sports. John Kurtz, Tyler Dreiling, Mitch Fortner. I have had more response to putting out a Twitter poll simply asking, is getting a Power Cat tattoo cool, than just about anything we've done in a while, so I feel like we have to tackle that to start the top of this hour. I also really enjoyed the topic that was going around K-State Twitter this weekend, which is name something from your time at K-State or Manhattan that the young kids now would not get. That had everybody involved and very responsive, so we will get to that as well. Maybe here in the first segment, certainly here before we are done. We'll squeeze in You Can't Be Serious amidst all of that as well. Keep voting in that poll, by the way. JL Kurtz, The Game KMAN. You can tweet us there if you have questions or comments. The text line 59457 and the phone number 537-1350. Okay, so the reason all of this got started with the Power Cat tattoo is simply that in Corbin McGuire's K-State Sports Extra, he did a great job as always. There is some information in there with Barry Brown about what happened at the workouts and what he learned. A lot of the same stuff he talked about with us on the air. But Corbin did a great job of writing the story, and we just took note. It was actually you that brought it to my attention. We took note at the beginning of the story that it said Barry Brown now has a Power Cat tattooed on his bicep, and he wants to use that, at least for right now, as just a sign of like, hey, I'm going to finish what I started. This is how much the school and the team and the program and my legacy means to me, which is very cool. And that brings me to the root of what a tattoo should be. I mean, this is just one man's opinion who has zero tattoos. I've always kind of wanted one, and there's probably only one thing that I would legitimately get tattooed. I'm not sure that I want to get into that as of right now, but I've always felt a tattoo should have a lot of meaning, very deep meaning to it. So that's why I've said, like, I wanted a tattoo when I was younger, like 18, 19, 20, but it would have been Blink-182 lyrics. Like, it would have said, don't waste your time on me, I'm already the voice inside your head, or whatever.
Mitch was cringing over there.
Yeah, I know. And it, how terrible would that be if I would have gotten those tattoo, but, like, that's what I was into. So, is that not a valid point? Like, it's got to be something that you know will be deeply meaningful.
Mm-hmm.
Like, I told you, Mitch, 10 years from now. 10 years from now, is it something to you that will be deeply meaningful?
Yeah, probably.
A power cat?
The thing about the power cat tattoo, in my opinion, I think it's fine, but just make it unique. Make it your own.
Well, I'll start it off with this. I don't have any problem with Barry Brown doing it. If you are an athlete at K-State, you have put your blood, sweat, and tears into a program for 4 years or two, three, however many it's been. That, to me, gives it enough meaning behind it to go ahead and get it tattooed. So I've got no issue with that at all from Barry Brown. I come back and question it, though, if you're just the average Joe, if you're just the huge K-State fan, okay, how would you feel about it being on your body? Because I may have considered a power cat tattoo at the same time that I was thinking about putting the lyrics of All the Small Things on my body as well, and I'm not sure I would be happy with either of those right now.
Yeah, and I've thought about it too. I think now I'm at the point that I think I would get one if K-State won a national championship in football or men's basketball. And then I would go down the route that Mitch said and make it unique. You know, it wouldn't just be a power cat. It would have the year in there, something to that effect. And you see that with people sometimes. On one hand, I do think it's pretty tacky. On the other hand, it's a free country, and if people want to express themselves in that particular way, well, then they are welcome to do so.
The question is not, is getting a power cat tattoo allowed?
Right.
The question is getting a power cat tattoo cool?
Yeah,
go do your thing, man. Go do your thing if you want to get whatever it is tattooed on you.
I think size and location can make a little bit of a difference in that answer. You know, if you're a guy and you're getting a little power cat tattoo, like, on the inside of your wrist or something like that, I'm going to go with no. If you're getting it like on your back shoulder blade, then that's not nearly as bad.
I don't think I've seen a power cat tattoo in another place other than somebody's arm. You know, right around the bicep area, or the tricep area, I should say, a little higher up.
Well, so here's some feedback on this, because I'll admit my initial response, just as a blanket statement without looking into any case-by-case basis thing or any sort of nuance here, is that if you are not an athlete, I think it is a bit tacky. But here are some people making their cases. Chuck says, if you went to K-State and you have a strong connection to those years of your life, I see nothing wrong with getting a tattoo to signify that portion of your life. If you think that, I'm cool with that, Chuck, he's still pretty young. I guess the question, in 10 years, and 15 years, is it still going to be meaningful enough to you, remembering those 4 years of your life, that you would still appreciate it?
The Google machine has shown me four pictures of different power cat tattoos in different places. I know that we're on radio, but if I showed them to you, we might be able to describe some of these and decide if they are acceptable or not. Here we've got one at the top of the arm that's a power cat, and it's got KSU behind it, and it looks like there is a Jayhawk in the beak.
Jayhawk, yeah.
Yep. Okay. Here we've got one also on the arm, but it's got the mob family thing from the block that's right beneath it. Here's one from presumably a Manhattan firefighter that has kind of the firefighter crest behind a power cat.
That'd be pretty cool.
Okay, well, that's cool, and now we're talking about something different. By the way, Chuck, who was making the case for a power cat tattoo, says his stepbrother copied the number 2 on his shoulder blade from Ashton Kutcher in The Guardian, so there's freedom in knowing no matter what I do, I won't have the worst tattoo in the family. I don't know what that reference is, but it sounds pretty bad if it's something involving Ashton Kutcher.
Look at this one that's just straight up power cat, and it's right on, I think, the right hand.
Ooh.
Well, it's just a bad place. I think that's the best-looking power cat I've seen out of all of those, because that's the other thing. You got to make sure that the thing looks good. But, Mitch, for instance, you had a spin on this of a tattoo that you want that I think would be acceptable.
Well, and it's because it's unique, and it means
cool.
A lot to me.
Let me take
that
back. I shouldn't be using the term acceptable. I think would be cool.
So I remember when K-State Soccer was announced that it was going to, you know, it was coming to K-State. Soccer's coming to K-State. They did a fan vote of the soccer crest. You know, there was three of them you could pick from, and I think the K-State fans picked the best one. And it's hard to explain what it looks like, but I love the soccer crest. I thought that would make a really neat tattoo, and it would be a perfect arm tattoo that could stretch from, you know, the top of the arm to, you know, almost not, maybe not all the way to your elbow, but it could take up a good chunk of your arm. It would look really good. But the thing is, though, you got to go to the right person to get it done. You don't want it to look poor. And still, even a tattoo artist can make it help you make your tattoo more unique. Another question, though, and I'm not sure about, if you get a Power Cat tattoo, should you go purple or should you go black? I think it would look better.
I almost think black.
Black, yes.
Yeah, it might be. Yeah, maybe.
Now, Mitch, you're skipping over part of the interesting part with you because you said you wanted to start a tat sleeve.
Yeah, I would like to do a sleeve at some point. Yeah, the crest would be a part of it. The crest would be a part of it. The thing is, though, I don't know. It definitely wouldn't be a full, like, K-State sleeve, obviously. It'd just be, you know, over time, things that mean a lot to me.
Well, let's put this to a poll. Would at Mitch the Fort look good with a tat sleeve?
I think Mitch could pull it off a lot better than the average Joe, and definitely better than either of us.
Yes, he is by far the most tan of us, and I think that's one of the keys. Like, right. I'm always afraid because of how pale I am to get a tattoo and how that would legitimately look. But we have people debating over like the different logos that you could get. I said, honestly, I'd rather have the little script basketball from the Tom Asbury days. That logo would be pretty cool. A lot of people want like the old, like, puffed out chest Fighting Willie thing. Somebody said they want the KS that's like on the baseball caps. So a lot of people want to even branch out beyond just the Power Cat.
I do agree that one of K-State's best logos has been the one with the basketball with the script cats in front of it. However, that's very difficult to pull off as a tattoo because the basketball is orange, and that's just a really weird color to have in a tattoo because it doesn't mesh with the skin very well.
Grant says the Power Cat tattoo is a bit trailer parky.
Bit trailer parky. Hmm.
Ryan says, it's my body, John. I'm sorry, Ryan.
As I was,
you can do whatever you want, Ryan. We're just discussing whether or not we think it would be cool.
As I was telling you earlier, I do know someone with a Power Cat tattoo who owns multiple Teslas, which isn't very trailer parky.
Paul says, I think it's only acceptable if it's really big on a shaved head. And then, well, this is how in-depth things got. Chase says, what if it's a girl with one of those little ankle tattoos? A Power Cat's as good as a dolphin or butterfly or whatever else.
I'm on board.
I like it. I like that idea.
Everybody has bad tattoos, but I mean, that's kind of the conversation here. Like, is the Power Cat a bad tattoo? Is that the company that you want to be keeping? Is a dolphin on somebody's ankle? Or a butterfly on somebody's ankle?
It's way better to get a logo tattooed on you than like someone getting Bill Snyder's face, because faces always go wrong. Like, they always look really weird, and then 10 years later they start to look different.
Well, who wants a face? Who brought a face into this?
No, I can recall from seeing championship tattoos for like professional sports teams or whoever. A lot of the time you'll see them incorporate little pictographs of players and stuff, and I think
Bill Snyder's face is a tattoo is where we cut this discussion off. You can keep voting. 61% of people think the Power Cat tattoo is not cool. So keep voting on that poll, the game KMAN, JL Kurtz. When we come back, I want to reminisce about Scooter Girl because that is one of the things from my era I want to explain to all you guys. Plus, my favorite Manhattan restaurant that no longer exists. You're listening to The Game. Back here on The Game, John, Tyler, Mitch. We may have a case of copyright infringement on our hands here. I see that
we don't. Spoiler alert.
Okay, well, let me pitch this to Mitch, because I've already talked to you about this during the break, being a hater. Mitch, I see today that K-State men's basketball, I think it was a tweet about like selling tickets, you know, buy season tickets. It says, enjoy the ride. How many times have I said about this season when we've talked about the upcoming season over the last couple months, you know, don't worry necessarily about what's going to happen in the NCAA tournament or whether or not you're going to be better than Kansas. Just enjoy the ride. Enjoy everything that's going to come throughout this ride of the season. I've said it a bunch of times.
And then later down the road, it turns into how upset you are that that team is bad. I'm referencing the Royals, and you completely shun them.
No, you're missing the point here, though.
Oh.
I said enjoy the ride about 20 times on a wildly popular radio show, and then all of a sudden it just pops up as their marketing slogan, enjoy the ride.
John,
we think that's a coincidence with how, you know, how popular our radio show is here in Manhattan. Just a coincidence that I've said that so many times, and then all of a sudden they're selling tickets with it, huh?
It's just incredible. I could have sworn that I had heard the phrase enjoy the ride before you mentioned it the first time. But no, it must have been you that came up with it.
I was on a plane yesterday, and the pilot came over the loudspeaker and said,
"Sue him.
Sit back and enjoy the ride."
Sue him.
Look, I realize that it's just a phrase, but I don't think it's a coincidence that I have been projecting it to the masses, and it, you know, it just flips a little switch for somebody. And hey, look, what we're about to do literally next is stealing content from the internet. So all I'm saying is, you know, maybe just like a 10% kickback on season ticks, or like, you know, some loge box seats that we could give out to everybody. You know, I can be flexible on what the repayment is here, you know? But I'm just saying, I don't even think this is really a conspiracy theory. I think there's more legs to it than just that.
I've seriously thought about copywriting Jabroni the Week. It's because ever since we started doing that, I'm hearing Jabroni everywhere. Like, I heard it when I was in Sacramento. I was listening to the radio, and the guy says Jabroni out of nowhere.
Yeah, I thought we brought it back.
We obviously are trailblazers with the segment.
Wildly popular radio show. Mm-hmm. Yes, yes. Well, if you go get that copyrighted, let me know so that I can do enjoy the ride so no one else can take it. Okay?
I'll ask him when I'm in the office, hey, is this taken?
Yeah.
Is enjoy the ride
exactly.
Taken?
Let's see if anybody else.
Needs to be your tattoo.
No, I'm not getting that as my tattoo.
Enjoy the ride.
No. That was pretty good. So this comes from Barstool K-State, although I was going to give them credit, and then Tyler was like, no, everyone's been doing this. Don't give them the credit for this.
I mean, they were the ones to put the K-State spin on it, but this has been a meme on social media for the last few weeks.
It says, without revealing your age, quote, retweet something about K-State that younger students wouldn't understand.
Why?
Wow. I feel like I had a couple good ones. One that was taken by many people of my era, but my era at K-State, 2007 to 2011, coincided with the run of Scooter Girl. Scooter Girl was a campus legend. And honestly, two of these tie in together because one of my other ones is the Forum, which used to exist in the Collegian and was the main reason anybody would pick up the Collegian. Not that the Collegian's bad. I wrote for the Collegian. But the students were very enticed by the Forum. So, Mitch, are you familiar at all with what the Forum was?
No, not really, actually.
The Forum was you would call a number and you basically just leave a message on this answering machine and you could say whatever. And then the Collegian would go through and pull like 15 or 20 of them a day and just put them in the Forum. So, you know, like I was in a fraternity and we would call and say something to make fun of another fraternity or try and inside joke, take a shot at another fraternity, something like that, and we would see if we could get them in and laugh about it. There were some about sports. I mean, I called about sports quite a bit. But it was just it was very funny. And I know they got rid of it, and I can't remember the specific reason it finally died, but I think it was something pretty bad that someone had said. I believe there was maybe a racist comment that got printed in there or something. So I get how it, you know, it sort of lends itself to a particular type of bullying. But, man, when it lasted, as a college student, it was great. It was really fun to go see what was in the Forum every day.
When I was a student at Manhattan High, the Collegian was delivered to Manhattan High every day, and that is immediately what everyone picked it up and turned to was the Forum. That's what they needed to read. And then most of the rest of the Collegian didn't get read.
Yeah, the Forum was, that was what everybody wanted, and there were a lot of mentions. So, for example, if you're wondering, like, what type of stuff would be in the Forum, It would be like something about Scooter Girl. Like, how fast do you think Scooter Girl is going on her scooter? I mean, that's a terrible one. People were more clever and funny about that. But Scooter Girl was like, iconic. So Scooter Girl, there's an article, actually, that Tyler was able to pull up in the Collegian, and I'm glad he did. It's called My Name is Rachel, Not Scooter Girl, April 11, 2007, from the Collegian. But she was a girl on campus who would ride one of those old Razor scooters that were really popular, like, right around the turn of the century, probably. That was, like, 2000 or so. She would ride one of those around campus, and she had really long red hair, as I recall. So she stuck out anyway. And then she's riding this scooter, and she was pretty reserved. She was a very reserved kind of person, and it just turned into, like, this a thing. It turned into a thing on campus, and the forum definitely helped perpetuate that, where people were always talking about it. And then anyone, man, you could ask any student back when I was in school what they knew about Scooter Girl, and they'd be like, oh, yeah, of course, Scooter Girl. So it just turned into a thing. Like, it's a big deal. If you're walking back from a class and you're like, oh, man, there goes Scooter Girl, like, that was a cool thing that brightened up your day a little bit.
I guess the equivalent from back when I was on campus was this guy that had a motorized recliner that he could, like, lay back in his recliner and he could drive it around campus.
He's got nothing on Scooter Girl, and here's a great blurb from the article. She said she has not let the gossip, the Facebook.com groups, or past Collegian forum comments ruin what she says. So this, in 2007, actually calls it Facebook.com, not just Facebook.
Mm-hmm.
Well, that's old school then.
Yeah.
That's 11 years ago, John. Can you believe that?
I know, man. Tell me about it. Another one that I put was Ivan Wilkinson being a total badass.
Mm-hmm.
As the PA guy, like, you know, that's the PA guy I grew up on.
Yep.
K-State fans, are you ready? Like, you know, I that's just like a part of my childhood, like, connected to that. So whenever I think of him or hear his voice on, like, old highlights and stuff, it's like, you know, nice warm blanket that it brings you back to.
I think most of the ones the one that I put on Twitter was Tim Tibisar, thinking that it would get more of a laugh than it did. Did trigger some PTSD in some people. They had forgotten the horrifying thing that was Tim Tibisar's defense at K-State under Ron Prince. But
I like the ones that aren't directly involved, like things on the field, because we know about those things, right? Like Ron Prince Ron Prince was terrible, and some of these kids don't really know about it or whatever. I saw these people tweeting, like, the old records from, like, 1985 and stuff. It's like, okay, yeah, we know K-State football was bad, but give a little more personality to it. And there are a ton of answers I have here. Like, I have a list that we're not even going to get to the whole thing of today. That's just great.
I've got a few, but it's way more fun to do this with, like, old restaurants in town, which is
Taco Hut. I saw people put Taco Hut.
Yep.
And that really strikes a chord with me, because that was one of our places. My dad and I would go to every home football game from basically the time that I was, like, 2 years old up until I got into high school, and then it started to fade a little bit because I was doing sports and involved in things. But that was one of the places that we would eat at all the time. If we weren't tailgating, which we did most of the time, I feel like Taco Hut was always the pregame meal. We'd go by Taco Hut, and I would get, like, their nachos, which I can still picture. They were just kind of unique, and it's not like it was anything fancy, but it was just good. Good tacos, good taco-y food, and again, nostalgia. I miss Taco Hut. Do you know where Taco Hut was, Mitch?
Was it on Claflin, up the hill from Dillon's?
Redina's on the west side?
Mm-hmm. Yeah.
Yeah.
Redina's is now, yeah.
Yeah. That was Taco Hut.
Couple that I remembered from Aggieville exclusively, the Purple Pig, rest in peace, Purple Pig, Pat's Blue Ribbon Barbecue, which is where Tanner's is now. The original Hibachi Hut and Texas Star Cafe locations.
I feel like you should be getting further back than these, because you're a townie.
I know. I'm not done. You remember the OG Cox Brothers Barbecue, where it was back off of Fort Riley Boulevard, like close to where the early edition is now on the east side. That's where the original Cox Brothers was.
Mitch, do you have anything you'd like to add to this conversation?
So it's not K-State related, but I remember as a kid, I told Tyler about this one earlier. It was in the mall, an arcade called Aladdin's Castle.
Mm-hmm. That's a great one.
I every single time my parents and I, my family, we would go take a trip to Manhattan, go shopping, whatever, visit family, that's the only place I wanted to go was Aladdin's Castle.
You even have a story from one that I think would make a really good one, and that's, what was it, EB Toys? Where
no,
you waited.
KB Toys.
Or
no,
KB
I've told
Toys.
That before. And KB Toys, yeah, Michael yeah. Bishop was signing autographs there in 1999. Yeah, no, I remember KB Toys. I think the Buckle is where KB Toys is right now. A great one that I saw somebody post was oranges/tortillas being tossed on the field after touchdowns for a long time. Like, that was a thing because it would be, you know, like in 98, you can still see, I think the highlight I always remember, you can still see the first touchdown that K-State scored against Nebraska in 98. It was fourth and goal, and Bishop, like, bowled over a guy to get into the end zone. You can see tortillas flying in from the corner because the national championship game was the Fiesta Bowl. So people are throwing tortillas on the field. Or the oranges is probably more old school because, like, the Big 8 champ would go to the Orange Bowl. And I don't so much remember oranges. I remember tortillas. I remember a lot of tortillas for a while there. And maybe I'm only thinking about 98, but I feel like that lasted more than just that, that people would be throwing the tortillas.
One of the other things that this got me to think about weren't necessarily places that we had then that don't have now, but it's the other way around. Back in the days, the Manhattan did not have a Target, did not have a Dick's Sporting Goods, did not have a Best Buy. The Walmart wasn't where it is now. Yeah. It was where Hobby Lobby is, yeah. And it was a really small and not great Walmart. You know, I think that maybe today's K-State students don't realize how bare bones Manhattan was up until about 10 or 15 years ago.
My parents used to tell me about, you know, when they would go out, what would be like the popular place to go to eat, you know, after the bars close. And always, I hope I'm not
Bob's
screwing
Diner.
Up the name. No, was it Country Kitchen? Does that ring a bell for anybody?
Yeah, I remember Country Kitchen. It was,
I think my dad worked there.
It was where Texas Roadhouse is now.
Yeah.
All right, let's take a break. I've got a whole list of these. A lot of the ones I'm about to read are either from when I was very young or even older than me, because I know, like, I get frustrated hearing some of Tyler's because I'm like, oh, you're so young. Everybody out there, a lot of our listening audience is probably saying the same thing, so I'll try to appeal to you a little bit more when we come back. Back here on The Game, let us know, 59457, The Game, KMAN, J.O. Kurtz, things from your era at K-State that the young kids would not know about these days. Specifically mine, Scooter Girl, Ivan Wilkinson, The Forum. Those are my favorites. A bunch of great responses from people, and again, Barstool K-State is who put this out on Twitter. We are we're taking that content for our use. Someone did say trying to win a K-Man t-shirt via the t-shirt toss on the east side. So I guess, I don't know, maybe they would. I've got like a Scoreboard Saturday shirt that's probably from like 1998.
Oh boy. I've got one. I've got one that Matt Walters gave me in 2010. It's around here somewhere.
I also really liked, so this brings me back to my childhood, Ballard Sporting Goods. They would sell some of the like t-shirts that were a little bit different. I remember there was like a, I'm pretty sure it was Ballard's that did Judgment Day for the Children of the Corn for the 98 Nebraska game. I had a 35-7 Oklahoma 2003 shirt from there, and I can't remember what it said, but it had some kind of
You are the last
slogan.
Person in the world that I would expect to buy a t-shirt with a score on it.
Well, again, back when I was, like, this is when I was at my peak, man. You should know better than that, because I've also told you that I mean, I'm serious. I've told you this over and over again. Like, when I was in elementary school, middle school, high school.
No, I understand
I was
that.
I'm bought in on some of the stuff that I don't really like so much anymore.
I'm applying what I know about you now to what you just told me.
Okay. Fair enough. I used to like Ballard's a lot because they would have those sorts of shirts. I've often said one of the things I would have the most fun doing is if I could go back to 1998 just to, like, walk around Aggieville and see, like, the gear that I could get at that point in time and just, like, buy it and come back and have it, that would be a total thrill for me. The Wild Rat version of Willie.
Ugh.
The old Willie head, basically.
Yeah, the terrifying one.
I want to say, was it 97, the first year that they went to the new head? I think they may have still had the old one in 96 when we were at the Cotton Bowl. But yeah, it's much better. A little more sleek. A little more sleek.
Uh-huh.
This time around. The crown of the field that should have been illegal. I like adding that on it.
Yeah.
The crown of the field, like the old field, if you looked at it from straight on, like it
had it was this, a mountain.
It was a yeah, it was like looking at a little hill. It was like a rolling hill. Like the Flint Hills on the football field with the way that that crown was. I did have the purple pig down as well. I was actually in the purple pig for the very last moments of the purple pig when it was going away because our friend Tyler Jackson was bartending there. I was a big fan, purple pig. Worrying about Snyder leaving for a better job. That's on here.
That's a good one.
Because there were some flirtations specifically. Well, I had someone tell me, I didn't remember this at the time, but I had someone tell me after the fact a couple years ago, Minnesota was one that went really hard after him.
UCLA did.
Yeah, UCLA is the one that I can remember from when I was like into K-State football and growing up. I can remember hearing about UCLA. UCLA really courting him pretty strongly and being worried about him leaving there. Two-way traffic on Morrow is one that predates me.
That's good.
You know, and I mean, I guess when I was a kid, well, you tell me when this was going on, when it went to just one way.
That's right. I want to say that that's right around the time that I can, like, start remembering things. So we're talking, you know, mid, you know, maybe 1996, 97-ish, I think. I could be wrong on that, but I do think I remember a period of time right at the beginning of my life that they had two-way traffic on Morrow, and now they shouldn't have any traffic on Morrow at all. They should just make it a pedestrian zone, but oh well.
Speaking of Aggieville, this just hit me, and I mean, this is 90s here. Remember Game Guy? It was like a video game store in Aggieville.
No, I don't remember that.
I remember that the children's bookshop, which was where I think it's Cold Stone that's there now, but that was a place that I got taken into a lot when I was a kid.
The $1 theater in Aggieville I saw a couple people bring up, that was something I never experienced. Is that predating you, too?
Yeah, I don't have any recollections there.
In Aggieville? I mean, if anybody wants to chime in, by the way, 537-1350, tweet us at the Game KMAN if you want to fill us in on some of these things that I don't know as much about. What was it that someone tweeted you?
Oh, someone said, Neil says, I've got one the younger generation might not recognize. Touchdown Beezus, Beazus. I have no idea what that means.
I don't get it either, and I feel like that's something maybe I should. I mean, Beezus, as in like Jonathan Beasley, perhaps?
Maybe. I guess that would make some sense. This one doesn't exclusively apply to Manhattan at all, but I remember when Blockbuster was Blockbuster before it was the fridge there now.
Sure.
But I think it's awesome that they still have the sign up, like it's still the original design of the sign for that Blockbuster that was right there.
Phone's starting to ring here, 537-1350. If you want to join us and chime in on this conversation, things that people would not remember, the young kids would not remember about Manhattan and or K-State. We'll go to William and Riley. What you got for us, William?
Well, I went to school in 2003 and 2004, and the big deal back then was a website called KS Underground that was very popular on campus.
KS Underground, so it was like campus gossip?
No, it was kind of like a precursor to Facebook, actually. It was a social media platform, but it started out by a guy going to school there at K-State, and everybody was on it, and that's where they listed all the parties and all the other good stuff.
Oh, okay, okay.
So Zuckerberg stole Facebook from K-State.
No, I think so. The guy's name was Richard, and everybody knew him.
That's cool. That's a good one. I like that. Thank you, William.
You're welcome.
KS Underground. KS Underground. Facebook was just becoming a thing that was wildly popular as I was getting into school. Let's talk with Jim from Manhattan. Jim, what do the kids not know about Manhattan or K-State?
Falsetto's Pizza back in the 80s.
Where was that at?
What was the name?
Falsetto's.
Falsetto's Pizza.
Yeah.
That's
right down around where the Goose is at now.
Oh, okay, so we're talking Aggieville.
Yeah, Aggieville.
Okay, Falsetto's Pizza.
And Then you had Raul Escondido over on 13.
Well, you've got all the restaurant history down, Jim. You've got you've got all the old school restaurants in Manhattan. We appreciate it.
All righty.
So that's interesting, because if they were right there, they were just competing head-to-head with Pizza Hut?
Yeah, that would have been tough. That would have been tough with the Pizza Hut at Aggieville. If you have a last-second thing to throw into this as we steal content from the Internet, 59457, the game KMAN, we will finish this off with You Can't Be Serious and check our poll of whether or not Mitch would look good with a tat sleeve. You're listening to The Game.
About that.
You can't be serious.
We have a quick update. Ben on Twitter says KS Underground started as SUDS, if I remember right, Student Underground Drinking Society. Well done, old school K-State.
I did look up ksunderground.com, and it takes you to some like tractor supply place. So
yeah.
It's a good cover if there is a forum there somewhere.
Here's the only thing that has me interested in sports racing. There was the horse that raced in the Belmont, right? Is that what this was? The Belmont.
Mm-hmm. Justify.
That was named after Rob Gronkowski.
Oh, okay.
And Gronk and all his buddies placed $69 bets on Gronkowski, the horse, to place. And at 24-1 odds, they each received $952.20.
Good day.
Because they bet $69 on his horse, which started originally at 69-1 odds, but obviously got better. So congratulations to Rob Gronkowski and his entourage.
I really don't have anything that I want to bring up because I feel like I'd just be doing
didn't
a disservice
do a show
to the
prep.
Didn't prep
no, I've
the
been
show.
Searching. I've been searching for 15 minutes, even during the last segment.
I've been
segment.
Searching for the last 4 minutes, Mitch, right. While we were in commercial break.
Let me go ahead and fill time.
Oh, man.
Casey
Brutal.
Called in with a couple of throwbacks.
Can we go back to the
You're
press
not
conference
being
for this?
Fair.
Can we go back to the press
not,
conference for this?
That's not true. I mean, I always wanted to channel Mike Gundy, and now I get to.
All right. Well, Casey called in. She had a couple of Aggieville locations that were back in the 90s.
What's up, Casey?
Streetside Records.
I do remember Streetside Records,
which is where Buffalo Wild Wings
yeah.
is now.
Uh-huh.
And then Pyramid Pizza, which is where So Long Saloon is located.
Okay, I've heard people say that. I just don't remember seeing it if I did. Now, like I say all this, like I was walking around Aggieville a little bit with my dad when I was like 6, 7 years old. There's probably things that I just don't remember, but I do remember the record store.
Well, I do have a You Can't Be Serious, and it has to do with horse racing. Of course,
you have two. We might need two here.
I don't. Sorry, Tyler. You have to figure something out here. But Justify winning the Triple Crown. The amount of money for breeding rights with Justify has gone up to $75 million if you want your horse to breed with Justify.
Yeah. Pick up that phone. Pick up that phone. See if we got something. An Oakland A's fan caught back-to-back foul balls. Oh, did we miss the call?
Here's the...
Oh, now there's another call.
Okay.
Mitch, we have another call on the other line.
And what, should I speak or should I let him go?
I think he got it.
Okay.
An Oakland A's fan caught back-to-back foul balls, like literally back-to-back swings.
Right.
He caught a foul ball. I always wanted one so bad, and I went to a game once with my neighbor, a neighbor kid who was a little bit younger than me, and he got a foul ball, and I didn't, and that's always stuck with me. What do we got here, Mitch?
We got Anthony from Wamego.
Go ahead, Anthony.
Hey, I got one from, this is like the early 1980s. There was a bar on the west end of Morrow, kind of where the theater is now. I think it was the Iron Horse. They had a thing called Wet Pants Wednesdays. And Wet Pants Wednesdays was started in the middle of the afternoon. And the beer was free until the first person went to the bathroom.
Oh, man.
That is great.
There wasn't much peer pressure or anything, but
that's awesome.
If you went in there, you couldn't go out. You couldn't leave the bar, but the beer was free until the first person went to the bathroom.
Oh, that is awesome, Anthony. Thank you so much for that.
All right, later.
That was wonderful. Aggieville bar owners. Take note.
Yeah, oh, man, this is Mitch.
Wet Pants Wednesday. Mitch is now just answering the phone with his mic on. I like this.
Okay, just for a little context here to cover me a little bit. What I was going to use was the video of the Mizzou Arena joyride from a year ago, because that footage finally got released, but it's just not very good. You can't actually see him driving on the basketball floor of Mizzou Arena, so that's why I didn't use it.
What's this last person wanting to say, Mitch? We have 30 seconds.
It's unrelated, it would appear.
No, I think it's related. He's just waving it off as far as being used on the air. Well, you can keep texting us, 59457.
We can do this again tomorrow.
At the Game KMAN. I'll be out the next couple of days. I will see you on Thursday. These guys will have you until then. Pete Hughes, new K-State baseball coach, in studio with these guys tomorrow. We'll see you. Thanks for listening.